Hi everyone, so it is Memorial Day weekend, and on this Memorial Day weekend, we celebrate many things, including the Indy 500, which I think by the time of this broadcast, we're probably going to be in mid, probably race, or at least the race is probably just starting.
Yeah, I think it's right around the same time, I think.
Yeah. So this is Sports Chat. I am producer par excellence John Graham, also joined by my partners, Matthew.
Indeed.
And Jacob.
Yo.
Wonderful introductions by the trio.
Yes, that is right. If you missed any parts of last week's discussion, you can go online at thespectrum239.com. But it is May 29th, 2022, and we welcome you to another edition of Sports Chat. We do want to kind of pause for a minute before we talk about, you know, the things we look forward to, like our freedom.
We already know that earlier last week, Texas has been in a massive trouble recently when Salvador Ramos has attacked two schools in Texas and killed 19 students and two teachers along the way. The police managed to get him, but he was already dead when they stopped him. Isn't that right, Matthew?
Beyond words, how terrible that is. I've been angry, quite frankly, all week for a lot of different reasons. And, you know, I mean, we think about just last week. There were three more. And, you know, so you mentioned Memorial Day weekend, John. Like, a lot of people were getting together with their families this weekend. And, you know, even if you can't, like, if nothing else, like, take this time with your family, because I mean, this, life is crazy, you know. You just don't know. And I mean, my heart goes out to all of those affected, and as a country, I hope we learn from this. It can't keep happening. So
yeah, and I would say that to that, to all of us, I think it's best, John and I, me and John, I think it's time we should all pause for a moment of silence and know that our thoughts and prayers will go out to everyone in the state of Texas, both now and forever. Thank you.
Yes. You know, it was very unfortunate, that Texas went through that. And, you know, as I kind of mentioned it on my morning show earlier, we definitely need to have a discussion about mental illness. And, you know, as the story continues to unfold, you know, I don't feel like playing the blame game is going to help anyone.
Yeah.
It's definitely not. And to say that this cannot happen anywhere, hey, it's already happened in Indiana, but it just goes to show you that, you know, there's still evil in this world. And
well, the point that I haven't heard when discussing this shooter, obviously, we should focus more on the victims rather than him, of course. But the question that I heard somebody make is, how much hate do you have in your heart? How much evil, quite frankly, do you have to have in your heart? This is a kid that, for his 18th birthday, went out and bought weapons planning to do this. You know, so how long did he plan on this? And I just can't fathom why to shoot his own grandmother. That's I cannot fathom how evil one has to be for that.
And she was the one who already called the police about this to see if they could stop him before he does anything stupid, like killing those students from that school that he did.
I agree. You know, there's just so much evil in this world.
Yep.
And it's so sad, for my work, we had to cover this.
Yeah.
You know, for 2 days out of the 3 days, you know, because this happened, I think, on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And it carried over.
Well, you know, and obviously the political side of it's not for this show. And I know that, you know, a lot of sports networks have been talking about. There are people that are probably sick of hearing about that. But I would just tell people, and this is the same thing for those in news, like, if you're sick of hearing about it, we're sick of talking about this stuff. And again and again and again. So we all need to do something. And, you know, to remind people, there's an election coming up. And make your voice heard. So few people did in Allen County this year that it's remarkable in the primaries and very, very disturbing.
All three of us know that we can't force anyone to do anything.
Yep.
We want something to be done. We want change. These are our voices, and we are demanding change now. You know, I mean, I agree with Matthew. You know, I'll be honest, I'm one of those people that prior to working in news and politics, I didn't care about, you know, voting in the primaries. I mainly focused on presidential because, you know, but down the line, I realized that, you know, it all starts at the lowest level.
Yeah. Well, I'm not trying to say I don't follow much in the way of like CNN and Fox News and all that. But what I will say is this. I felt this was coming, and I told people this, because you're not always going to have an election that has the circumstances that 2020 did. You could go down the list, but yeah, while it was encouraging to see more people vote, now it's a matter of, okay, maybe there's not a polarizing figure. Maybe you're not voting for president or in a pandemic or in a moment for social justice. Like now but you still have to vote, and that's the irritating thing for me. And I guess in times like this, it does remind us that sports is very minuscule in the grand scheme of life, and that it is a game. And, you know, you win or you lose, but we're not talking about something life and death unless we're talking about, you know, soccer in like South America or something like that, where it does so, I won't say often, but on occasion become that way. But it's sports. It's a game. And there are other things bigger than this, and that's my way of thinking this week.
And we all know what Salvador Ramos has done. He should know that he should never cause any of this destruction stuff. Yeah. If the cops did catch him, he would have been sentenced to, I would say he would be far too dangerous to go to jail. He should be sentenced to, like, he needed some medical attention.
Yeah.
Like, maybe to a psychiatric hospital would be a good place for him to get as much medical attention that he could get.
Yeah. It's such a sad moment, but just reach out to people. That's my thing. Reach out. You never know who needs it.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and be nice.
Yeah.
You know, be nice. One of the things, you know, that I know Indiana is good for is our hospitality. You know, I've been all over, a road warrior. So I've been to many different states, and Indiana is probably one of the nicest ones. You know, our neighbors look out for each other. That's not to say that Massachusetts doesn't, you know, look out for one another, because, you know, I've seen it at hand. But I feel like, I don't want to get into politics, but
yeah.
And this whole thing too about no one wants to agree on anything. Well, our forefathers clearly had, you know, fights, you know, arguments, you know, here and there. But in our generation, I wouldn't be surprised if the Lord comes back.
If what does?
If the Lord comes back, you know, like during our generation. You know, like, you know, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, because there's just so much evil in the world, and we're at, I don't know if we're much more closer to a nuclear war now, or not.
Well, that's the scary part, is that there is somebody over on the other side of the world who we don't know. But I was watching some of the coverage that TNT was doing prior to one of the NBA games on that night, and they were in Texas. They were in Dallas, and you know, they all made interesting points about this. And the thing I think that sticks with me is something that Ernie Johnson said. You know, he's a grandparent, and his daughter actually is a teacher. And he's like, the fact that people could do this scares me. And I remember watching the shooting that occurred in Parkland, Florida, from my dorm. And what scared me was knowing that my sister was in a classroom, my cousins were in a classroom, and so many, you know, of our family members were in school, and thinking, this is there, sure, but what if it's here next week? And there's a lot that we have to do. And, you know, and in a sports show, we don't have enough to spend on it, but I can't even fathom what that call is like if you're a parent, right? You know, that,
yeah,
you drop your kid off at school, and then, I mean, their last day of school is supposed to be this week too, at that,
yeah,
school.
Yeah.
I can't fathom that you drop your kid off at school, and then an administrator, a police officer, principal, whoever, calls you and says that your kid is dead. I can't begin to imagine what that's like. You know? And sadly, yeah, some parents have to know what that's like. So,
why did he pick an elementary school? I keep on hearing one of the reports I'm hearing is that there might be a connection between him and some elementary schools, you know, students, because they were playing video games. And that's the other thing that you never think about, is that, which cyberbullying is, you know, don't get me wrong, a big issue in the world. So sad, you know, that now not only do we have to, we all need to be mindful of others. You know, I mean, I get it. You know, people are going to talk trash, you know, online, whether it be Facebook, social media, and I guess at this point, video games now.
Yeah.
People want to censor, you know, big tech like Facebook and Twitter. It's going to be super hard to even censor and monitor video game chatter.
Yeah.
So, like, again, you know, I think all it boils down to is that, yeah, you know, I get that kids are going to be kids. I just feel like, you know, people just need to grow up here.
To me, maybe he probably has, like, Stockholm syndrome, like, yeah, something snapped in the victim's mind. Like, he's not just a criminal. He's more like a victim.
Right.
I mean, that's what I would think. Like, he just lost control of himself, thinking these people are nothing to him.
I mean, whatever he was thinking, and, you know, I remember when I was in school, I mean, I was in high school when the Sandy Hook shooting took place, and we talked about that. We talked about Columbine and how it all ties together. And I think the thing that scares me is that when I was in school, when dinosaurs walked the earth, was when that happened. You guys remember how it was? Like,
yeah.
They told you. The main concern when it came to school safety was getting to and from school for kids and bullying within the schools. We can't even address that stuff right now, you know, because now there's all these other threats. And I mean, I just can't even, I can't imagine being a kid in a school right now. And I hope that with the summer coming up, that school administrators as well, and, you know, legislators and elected officials think about what they're going to do. Because that's the thing when I was driving back home today, like, those kids that are in that school, they're going to have to go back into a school, maybe even that one, in August. And I can't picture what that's like. But I guess to sum up my thoughts in general, things need to happen. They need to happen yesterday, really. But we need to make our voices heard. And we also need to send warm thoughts as much as possible to those affected, because it happens a lot. Way too much.
Yeah, it happens too much. And and I feel like, you know, that we just keep on going in the spiral circle. I'm sure you've seen it on social media, Matt. Yeah. You know, that, you know, we care, we send thoughts, we blame, no one does anything, and then just it comes up again.
We literally had 3 mass shootings the week before. To your point. So if we don't act now, if we don't put pressure on those responsible to do something, we'll spend maybe not next week's show, but in a couple weeks probably, opening it like this. And we hate to talk about this. We'd rather be talking about sports and fun stuff. There's a lot going on. We're going to get to that here in a moment. We'd rather talk about that than anything like this.
Yeah. You know?
And I was going to say, guys, but I think I got something here that might help these people in Texas that I got here from Psalm 55:22 that might help them out. That is, give your burdens to the Lord, for he will take care of you. And so that means they should all give it to God when they're hurting. Like if we lost some of our kids who are in high school or our teachers who are like family to them, we could always give it to God and he could take care of us and to those people from Texas.
Yeah.
They got my prayers.
Yeah. I just want to keep everyone in Texas in my prayers as well, because this is sad.
Yeah.
This is sad. And you might be questioning, well, you guys are one small station in Fort Wayne, Indiana. So what? We have a voice. To those of you who say we can't get bigger, just watch us. I'm honestly telling you guys that we have a backer interested that would like to see us go further. So, you know, it's just a matter of time.
And everybody here is going to put in that work. So everybody stay tuned and watch out as I literally drop my phone on the floor. So stay tuned and watch out. Don't wear athletic shorts with a phone that has no case.
Well, enough about that. Let's get on with some sports, shall we, guys?
Yes.
Zoom, zoom, please.
Well, we did talk about the Indy 500, Matthew. I have the starting grid right here. So the races that we got, the racer who's going to be starting in pole position, ladies and gentlemen, driving Honda, number 9, Scott Dixon!
Woo. After the time trials this past week, I mean, he's got to be feeling good. But then again, you do have, I think it's 250 laps to stay in front. But if he goes first the whole way around, give him like all the money. Give him next year's winner or next year's prize purse too.
But for other races that we also got, because we also got a very special racer who's also competing in this tournament, in this race at the Indy 500 tomorrow, Jimmy Johnson, who's driving his late number 48. That he raced, and he's an 8-time Dover International Speedway champion and 7-time NASCAR Cup Series champion. He is.
Yeah, but he's never really done it much in IndyCar, so I think it'd be really cool to see, you know, to see somebody that's still such a big name in the racing community go down there and do well. I mean, you know, I'd back him. Maybe not pick him, but I'd support him. You know, because I think that's a really cool storyline right there.
Yeah. But I still think Jimmy Johnson could be able to do it because he may have won the NASCAR race 7 times, Hines, but I still believe that I think Jimmy Johnson could do it to win his first Indy 500 race for the first time in his history.
Yeah, I mean, that would really be kind of a crown jewel achievement, really, I'd think. And to win it, even though I think he's won at the Brickyard before, but in NASCAR, and I don't even know if that's actually correct, but this would, I think, really be kind of the feather in the cap, so to speak, right here. If you win at IMS, that's as big as it gets down there. It's good that just the race is going to be full capacity, and I think it's supposed to be nice weather tomorrow. It was not yesterday, but hopefully it's moved out because today is perfect if they were to race, but they're not today.
But I would say if Jimmy Johnson does win, this could go all the way to the top for Indy cars, I would say, would be.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, it'd be a big storyline. You know, you have somebody that's very, very well known throughout the sport. I don't think, aside from maybe Lewis Hamilton, that anybody in Formula One has that kind of, you know, reputation. So, I mean, he's arguably the biggest name still racing today, so I think if he could win, that's going to be huge for them, you know, because let's face it, after the Indy 500, a lot of that focus shifts back to NASCAR. if he wins, maybe stays on for a few races, they could perhaps lure a little bit more attention to the rest of their season.
But I would say this, but even though the Indy 500 will only start if they have the most famous words in motorsports, so, and we all know what the most famous words is, because on behalf of the members of Volvo and Spectrum from around the USA, I'd say, gentlemen, start your engines!
For sure, and I didn't used to even care necessarily about the song Back Home Again in Indiana, but if nobody has seen that performed at the track, especially last year, after I don't think any fans in 2020 got to go to IMS. So in 2021, with fans back in the facility there, to have that, and now in front of that full crowd again, that is super cool. Even if you're not from Indiana, even if you are listening somewhere else in the country and you really don't even know where Indiana is, it's, you know, it is a nice moment, really. And I mean, I used to go down every weekend around Memorial Day weekend, and I can tell you, down in Indianapolis, it is big time, like bigger than probably really, you know, any sporting event, save for when they had the final, for when they had the whole tournament really there last year. But that is a massive event there.
Well, we all know that. Even though when you said NASCAR after the Indy 500, I heard that there is a race happening after the Indy 500. The races are going to be at Charlotte Motor Speedway for the Coca-Cola 600, which means they're going to do a 400-lap race they're going to be doing.
See, I almost kind of wonder, like, I mean, it's a good thing they go at right about 200 miles an hour, because I always wonder, like, how do the racers keep themselves entertained for that long? If you guys ever heard of this thing, like, I was thinking about it on the highway today. I didn't think it was a thing, but apparently it's legit. It's like white line syndrome or dash line, whatever. That line in the highway, like, that once you get on the highway and you just start going straight for however long, you like naturally kind of check out a little bit. Now, I'm an attentive driver, so this doesn't apply to me. But I can't help but think, like, I mean, yes, because you got all people moving around, you're going such fast speeds, but you're going in normally an ovular shape. But, I mean, for 400 laps, like, whoa, I mean, I'd have to have, like, some music on in the car or something, like, or better yet, maybe, you know, because, like, you have, I think game 7 for the NBA finals is today. I don't know. Maybe like the crew chief is in my ear talking about the game or something. Like, well, I mean, you got to stay entertained somehow for 400 laps. Wow.
Quite so. Even though you said about the NBA semifinal and the NBA battle for game 7 Saturday tomorrow, where Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics are going to sudden death tomorrow, and the winner of this competition will move on to the NBA Finals until June 2nd next week for the chance to battle against the Golden State Warriors.
Well, for starters, you mentioned the Warriors. I don't even think it matters at this point who plays them. I think they're going to win either way. But I was shocked Miami won last night. They looked defeated at the end of Game 6, to put it mildly, as they're hoisting up shots that have no chance, i.e. Victor Oladipo hitting nothing but the backboard twice. You know, that, like, they looked defeated, down and out, and Boston just didn't come out with that energy last night. You know, or Jimmy Butler did. Jimmy Butler can put his team on his back, and I'm telling you, if they add one more legitimate star next year to match him, I don't know if it would disrupt the chemistry, really, and take away from what he does, but if it supports him better, then that's a team that wins the championship, because he's going to put them on their back. And I'll say this, I think they probably match up better. I think they'd give the Warriors a better series, but like I said, I just don't think it matters. And I mean, this has been such an unpredictable playoffs. Like, all the games have been blowouts. You've got a lot of teams winning on the road this year. So I think this is a toss-up, but I'm going to stick with my original pick for the series and say Miami, but and then they lose in the next round.
But to me, I still say the Boston Celtics should take them down, should take on the Warriors. Because even though John and I know Cannon Gordon is from Massachusetts, and his team, the Boston Celtics, are the top fraternity NBA Finals champions on campus, they are.
Yeah, I mean, they were the team. And, you know, the Warriors, to be fair, for the longest time were, well, not. But good thing most of their fans weren't Warriors fans when that happened. They were fans of other teams. Oops, I think I said that on air. But at any rate, think for so much time that they had in Oakland. But now it's just different. Now it seems like that was eons ago, partially because they're in San Francisco now. But that team is just so, so stacked. You know, I can see Game 7 tomorrow. I think it's tomorrow. Going either way. But, I mean, both of these two teams are too good to not win a game or two. But then when you start talking about them beating this Warriors team four times, I can't possibly see how that happens. But, hey, Jimmy Butler, I'd say, would put him on his back. I mean, remember, like, when Miami played the Lakers in the finals a few years ago, they were competitive in just about every game, and they won one. And now they know. They were just there two seasons ago. They've been there. They can get back, and they know what it takes to win it. But that Warriors team's won a lot. So they know what it takes to win every game. They're not fazed.
Quite so to that, Manuel. But we all know, with only two teams remaining, because with the Dallas Mavericks eliminated, they're the first team that finishes in fourth place. But we're about to see which team between the Celtics or Heat will finish in third place.
Yeah, when you mentioned Dallas, talked about if Miami has a star. What if Dallas adds another supporting star to Luka Doncic? Like that, I mean, we saw they just flat out stomped the Suns on their own game stuff. Like that was brutal. I mean, they should have thrown in the towel, mercy rule, something at halftime and said, you know, put these dudes out of their misery. Like, send them home. Because Luka Doncic, every game, was showing up in the playoffs. If they can get somebody more, I don't even think they necessarily need to sign somebody. I think they have a core. But if they add a star, it'd be interesting because they did determine that with Kristaps Porzingis last year that it wasn't going to work out and that Luka was probably better, and they showed it. But if Dallas can just solidify that, that's a future champion team right there. They are young. They're well coached. They have the resources needed to attract somebody in free agency if they need to. So tell you, keep an eye on the Dallas Mavericks next year. Just a hunch. And I know people will roll their eyes, like, oh, they finished, you know, the conference finals. But yes, watch them get over that hump next year.
And I would say, and it takes a talent like that team to show off any experience and abilities that they have in them show other talents they don't even know exists in them. Mm. And I hope they keep using that for next season.
Yeah, one of my friends is a Warriors fan. I told him straight up, I think Warriors won the series, but any notion that this will be a sweep is just preposterous because Luka will get him one or two games. He will do, like I said, he'll put him on, put the team on his back and make the plays, and he did. So now the question is going to be, do they have enough where could they beat Golden State in an entire best-of-seven series? They saw they can compete with them somewhat. But
even though the Golden State Warriors do have some of the best players in history, based on like Klay Thompson, or even the legendary player that we all know, Stephen Curry, who created the show. Holy moly!
I was on standby to say that he was their producer there, but you beat me to it, Jake. You beat me to it. Yes, Steph literally has made more threes in the history than anybody in the history of professional basketball that we know of, at least. And yet, he's only in his early 30s. I mean, that's just ridiculous. Also, belated congratulations to Steph, who finished his degree at Davidson University. Also, while we're at it, congratulations to everybody, all the graduates. We all know at least one person that's crossing the stage or has already. Congratulations to all of them. Enjoy your moment because life gets crazy from here. So enjoy being young. But at any rate, yeah, I mean, Steph is... this is the frustrating thing about him. Like, people always said what was so frustrating about guarding the late, great Kobe Bryant was that he made impossible shots, that you played perfectly defensively for 22 seconds, and then with two on the shot clock, one on the shot clock, hit it. And that's exactly what happens with Steph Curry. Like, he hits every single shot in the book that you just almost have to say he'll get 35 points a game. You just have to make sure not everybody else scores.
Like, he's always being like James Bond. Like, if a basketball player said, you can't shoot a three or a half-court shot, you miss it. And once he makes that shot, he'll say to them, I never miss.
Yeah. He's that guy that, like, you know, we all played against some of those dudes, like, you just randomly showed up, played against at the park, and you thought that, oh, just an average guy, and say, all right, I'll let you have that. And then he hits a three from a crazy shot, and you're like, oh, so I can't guard you there. And then next time he just starts throwing up from half court, and he just starts making him like, who is this guy? Like, what college does this person play for? That's Steph Curry in a nutshell. He steps off the bus. Like, he's not even in the arena, and you probably have to start guarding him. A game's 2 hours away. You have to start guarding him. He's that good. There's never been anybody in the history shooting a basketball as good as Steph Curry. And I'm going to go on record and say there likely never will be. It's just uncanny how good he is. And somebody's going to find that out next series.
Even though Stephen Curry did create the show, Holy Moly, season 4 is still going on now. But the question I was asking about for Rob Riggle, what is his plan that he has for the big finale of season 4? Even though we have reports that the Muppets kidnapped Stephen Curry. Hey.
I mean, that would be helpful for the teams there. That's their only chance. If the Muppets just kidnap him and never bring him back, then now all of a sudden the Celtics or the Heat, they've got a shot.
But even though he's still hosting his own show with the co-stars of Joel and the hilarious comedian, former Marine actor, the one and only Rob Riggle.
Yeah, I've seen. He actually appeared in an episode of The Office. You remember that? Like, what was it? Season. It was the one where they were on the boat, and the best part was that, like, he convinced Dwight he could be the captain of the boat, but he put like a fake steering wheel, and so Dwight's over here like, I'm the captain of the ship now. He said so, and then there's another guy like behind him that's steering it. That was Rob Riggle's episode. I want to say it was episode or season.
Well, whatever
two?
Whatever season it was, if you can remember. But he was also, I know Rob Riggle, he was also in The Hangover with Dr. Ken and a guest panelist on season 5 on The Masked Singer quarterfinals.
Yeah, and I know he's a big sports guy as well. Yes, yeah. Or at least reportedly. He hosted the ESPYs 1 year. They could get anybody for that. But normally I think you have to have some like sports knowledge, you know?
But it was kind of funny when he started saying about with the pig was like, said, Piglet!
Yeah.
In the hen house!
he is a legend. And we certainly have a few absolute legends, including two who are seated in this room here with me. Both of whom celebrated birthdays recently, to which I say a belated happy birthday indeed. But yeah, just proves legends never get old. So,
quite so.
Yeah, very, very true. Well, thank you for that, Matthew.
Yeah.
I had a nice birthday. celebrated here at WoWo, and then later on, as I was board hopping the Tin Caps, which, you know, maybe took about 2.5 hours about 2 hours before they decided, hey, let's call the game.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's another, you know, kind of, you know, unfortunate thing is that, you know, I really wanted to, like, hear them play on my birthday, because last night was Marvel's superhero night. You know, it's one of the theme nights for Tin Caps, and, you know, and there are a bunch of, they actually said on this morning on Talkin' Sports, which is another show I produce, that they had one of the largest crowds. So they were trying to do everything in their power not to call the game. But when you had a steady rain, which, you know, and I'll repeat it, you know, at 9:30 when I was heading home, it was still raining.
Yeah. You can't wait all night to play.
Yeah. But I'm sure they may do that again next season. I think John and I should dress ourselves up as Marvel superheroes like me, that my girlfriend Lindsay will bring a special birthday gift for me when she comes over for my birthday dinner this evening. And I know, and I think for my money, I think John Graham's going to be wearing the same costume that he wear on our Spectrum Dress Up radio show, Doctor Strange.
Yes, Doctor Strange.
Well, on the topic, let me ask, if you have superpower, what superpower would you go with? To me, I've known for a long time.
I would probably say, like me, maybe I would say, like, I have the powers like, I would say, maybe, like Superman would have.
Yeah.
Like Kryptonian power, I would call it.
I would say flying. I would love to fly. Yeah. And, you know, have laser beams coming out of my eyes, too.
You mean heat vision, it's pronounced.
Not have to pay for airline tickets as well, so there's that. No, nobody said freeze time or make time speed up. All I could think about, and I say this, you know, after I just congratulated graduates, everybody, do your schoolwork, do it on time. But there were plenty of times that I forgot to do something, or if you want to procrastinate, I've had that feeling before where you're there and like there's an assignment to do, and then the professor's like, hand up the assignment. Wouldn't you just like in that moment to be like, oh no, I forgot, so freeze, and now I've got as much time as I need to. See, like, and then like as soon as you're done, be like, all right, yeah, time in, everybody, here we go. Yeah. I literally got mine done, handed in before you guys. So if you guys want to, you know who the smart kid of the class, wouldn't that be cool? Like, you would have infinite time. I mean, that to me would be so cool.
I'm hanging out with him.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's one way to become the cool kid at the table. But I've just always thought that. Like, I'm like, man, you know, you could basically have, like, unlimited timeouts. Now, granted, I think people would start to catch on after a little bit. But, like, wow, this day's going forever. But, yeah, that'd be me. But, you know, to get back to what I was saying originally, I'd hope, if nothing else, that they could reschedule Marvel Night. But I think they normally have their promotions booked throughout the season. So I'd imagine that next year, because I'm pretty sure they've done that several times before.
Yeah. I mean, I do know, I'm sure they probably don't have an answer yet, but I do know in times past that they might most likely, reschedule it probably later on in the season. Because, I mean, we're still in May. And, you know, so, I mean, there's a couple of home games, you know, that I don't think have anything. So,
yeah,
you know.
Wow. We could do it.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, but I too got word that moments ago from yesterday's softball matchup, John, from today, the Wounded Warriors has destroyed the Bishop Bluer Knights big time, and now they are heading to the Sectionals Championships on Monday to take on the Eastside Blazers. There's that Eastside High School later on. But this is the moment we've been waiting for, to see which team between the Wounded Warriors or the Eastside Blazers will move on to the Battle of the Regional Super Sweet 16.
Oh, yes. So, kind of going back to Rob Wiggle.
Okay.
So, he was in the episode of The Office, The Booze Cruise episode.
Yes, yes.
He played Captain Jack.
All I remember that is there was an immediate power struggle between him and Michael. And, like, there's the whole thing of Jim and Pam going on, which, of course, was nine seasons of that. But I remember Michael thought this was something entirely different. That would be a work cruise in a party boat. But, yeah. It's too bad that show's not on Netflix anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I know a lot of people have Peacock and they can watch it there, but man, that got me through we all remember how depressing March and April of 2020 were. For when I wasn't doing schoolwork, that got me through that.
Yeah.
that I binged that in like 2 weeks, 3 weeks maybe. That is an all-time classic show. And I don't even think they should reboot it. It was that good.
Yeah, yeah. The Office, please, yeah. Please, do not touch. Do not touch, okay?
Yeah.
You can touch anything else. Do not touch The Office.
Yeah, they probably get a ton of money for it. But the thing is, I know at least Steve Carell and John Krasinski seems like he's in a lot of other stuff now. He does like a ton of movies now. They probably don't have any ambitions for that, but...
By the way, spoiler alert, he was Fantastic Man in the new Doctor Strange.
He's in, like, action movies now. That's the part. We were watching one where he was, like, a FBI agent or a Secret Service agent. I'm like, man, Jim really changed.
Right?
I know he hated his job in sales, but wow. You know, I guess I shouldn't say for those that haven't watched it, but spoiler alert, he does leave Dunder Mifflin at the end of it. But, I mean, man, like, he went from...
What? He leaves?
Season 9 was not...
The best.
Yeah. but the thing is, though, I saw somebody ask, though, if you were the producers there at NBC... Because I guess Steve Carell was a producer. When he left the show, if you get the chance after the 7th season, do you cut it off there once he's done? I still think they should have done 8 and 9. 8 and 9 are still good, but
yeah.
9 was just different. But.
Yeah. And truth be told, I have not to this day finished seasons 8 or 9. So I think I know what I'm doing tonight.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe watching a... episode of The Office or two, because I was going to go to an AGR concert, but as I kind of alluded to, no one heard of AGR, so no one's coming with me. So I am not going alone, especially not. Well, let's take a poll. You know, the concert's probably maybe 4 or 5 hours away at this point.
Yeah.
And in Noblesville is probably a good drive away. If I were to go alone to see AJR, which I maybe only know 2 or 3 of their songs, should I go and deal with traffic and parking and stuff?
Noblesville's a good 2 hours. I mean, probably more like an hour and a half because we're on the south side of Fort Wayne, right?
Yeah.
But for knowing 2 of the songs, that's a toss up for me personally. But
yeah, and one last thing about Rob Wiggle. He was also in Modern Family. He played Gil Thorpe. He played Phil's nemesis, real estate agent. So Modern Family is another favorite of mine. But again, you know, nothing will definitely trump the classics like The Office.
Yeah, that was an all-timer right there. Everybody told me for years and years to watch it, and I resisted, but I could see after like 2 episodes what they were talking about. But yes, so that. Wasn't really much sports on there, but if it's not going to be sports, it has to be something very humorous to keep me in the loop. And Steve Carell and the gang, they certainly did that. Him and John and Jenna Fisher. And so that was quite the show. Good memories, good times. And now we have to hope that they can come up with something even half as good, which seems tough.
Which I will admit that... that John and Jenna really did have good on screen chemistry.
Yeah,
Jim and Pam.
He hosted SNL like a year or two ago, and he did a pretend thing where everybody asks him like, why you're not dating Jenna Fisher, why you're not married to her, but like it was almost uncanny because I actually thought they might have been a couple and. In real life, but no, apparently they are just really, really good friends. But hey, you never can tell, right?
You truly never can. And by the way, John is married to, I believe, Emily Blunt.
Yeah, I know it's an actress. I know. He's married to. Yeah,
I feel like another great movie with the two of them, not Jenna Fischer, but actually true husband and wife, A Quiet Place.
That, yeah. Is that supposed to be like a scarier movie kind of thing? Like, because I'm squeamish.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm squeamish too. I don't really think it's really.
Yeah.
I don't really think Quiet Place is that scary. You know, I mean, if you want to proceed on the side of caution, I guess don't watch it in the most darkest room of your house. You know. But yeah, definitely A Quiet Place. Definitely, I would recommend.
Well, as a matter of fact. But for all Super College softball, I got here, we got reports that we got one team has already advanced to the semifinals for softball, yeah. The Oklahoma State Cowboys, and we already got two that are playing right now, but unfortunately right now, it looks like Virginia Tech and Florida Gators, they're tied 1-1, and they're about to get ranked, and they'll be soon going to, sudden death tomorrow. For their chance to see who will be the second team moving on to the next round.
Yeah, the Women's College World Series there. We mentioned college sports. Just like to point out that it's baseball, but still in the diamond. Ball State University, one win away from getting to the NCAA tournament. If they win either today or tomorrow, they'll go. But, yeah, I know it's, certainly going to be very, very interesting. We have 1-1 game right now, so that's could be a nail-biter perhaps.
Well, as a matter of fact, we also got the Oklahoma Sooners. They're just taking their game. They're already playing for game two, taking on the USC Golden Knights. They were last season's softball World Series champions last season, who have won their hosting World Series competition at their home city, Oklahoma City.
Yeah, though that'd be a nice place to be right about now. Probably a tad bit hot down there, but certainly that's got to be the end goal for those teams. We'll see who makes it.
As well as not only that, we also got the Arkansas Razorbacks getting ready to take on, as they'll be playing tomorrow, and they're going to be playing tonight, this evening at 4, as they'll be taking on the Lone Star State 8. So kids, watch out for the Texas Longhorns.
Oh, man. That means we either have to, I want to say root for, but either for a future SEC team or a current SEC team, that's not fun. You have to either root for the Longhorn Network or for the SEC Network. I don't want to be in that spot. I'll just go with one of the other teams that's left to support.
Quite so to that. Even though those kids should know that they should don't mess with Texas.
Yes. We'll see if messing with Texas turns out to backfire tonight for the Razorbacks.
As well as that, but the Oregons are also happy tonight, as we also got the Oregon State Beavers taking on the Stanford Cardinal. And we also got one Big Ten conference team left that has survived the playoffs. And that team is, ladies and gentlemen, the Northwestern Wildcats. And they're taking on the Arizona State Sun Devils.
What? Yeah, I feel like the Pac-12 is like always good in softball. I really feel like they always have a good team. I don't know about so much about Northwestern, but so yeah, we got an all Pac-12 game there, and then we have one Big Ten team sort of fighting for survival. It kind of sounds like the NCAA men's basketball tournament, where the Big Ten was good all year, and then not many left. So we'll see if the Wildcats from Evanston, just outside of Chicago, there can turn Chicago or Oklahoma City purple this year.
But this is going to be a really night game one, because they'll be starting 1 hour before midnight, they will be.
Where's that at, though? Is that, like, here locally, or is, like, out west somewhere?
Well, they're still doing it. They're doing it over in Evanston.
Oh, wow. So I'm just thinking, even there, that's still starting at 10 o'clock out there. Whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that's a city that never sleeps, you know, even though it's not New York, but that is a very lively city that they neighbor there. But, wow, 10 o'clock. That's going to be a late night on the banks of Lake Michigan up there.
Yeah. Even so, we also got the UCLA Bruins from Los Angeles, California, take on the team get another team from all the way from Texas, the Duke Blue Devils.
Duke is hoping to avenge was a loss. Well, I guess it wasn't really an early tournament exit, but still a bit underwhelming in the NCAA men's basketball tournament. I don't think their women's team. I'd have to check if they made it. I know they didn't go very far. But they'll be hoping to provide a little bit of positivity for the folks in Durham now that Coach K is gone there. But that is that. That's a different conversation, but should be very, very interesting to see what the Blue Devils can put together. And then, yeah, you know, we've got a lot of blue blood programs still left, and we'll see who all makes it to that Women's College World Series in Oklahoma City.
As well as that, we also got the Arizona Wildcats. They're still taking on the Mississippi State Bulldogs as Arizona just got their first win, just one more win to go, and well, Mississippi State will be going home.
Yeah, and they certainly want to avoid that fate. Let's see if they can push it to a decisive game in this next one here, but certainly going to all be coming down to the wire here in the days and hours ahead. What a weekend it should be.
Yep, right so to that. But even though we also got word that the Florida Everblades for the Battle of the Kelly Cup, they just lost for a chance for their fourth win against the Newfoundland Growlers yesterday, and they're about to play later tonight at Florida again, hoping that they could get their fourth win, and maybe this time they'll have a second chance to win their second Kelly Cup this season, as they're about to wait for either the Toledo Walleye or Utah Grizzlies to face them in the finals.
So it'll be Florida. I think we can safely assume, but nothing's ever safe in sport. And then, you know, from there, I don't know. I mean, maybe Toledo could beat them in the Kelly Cup finals, but I would have loved to have seen a Fort Wayne representative there, but we'll see where all next year takes us, and Shane Alberani will describe all the action for us as he sees it from his perch up there atop the rink there at the Memorial Coliseum, and you can hear it all just down the hallway from WoWo 1190 Studios.
And it is quite the bird's eye view.
Oh, yeah. I mean, anybody that's never been to the Coliseum, of course, now I think they have the 600s level across from where he sits blocked off. But I remember seeing it, you know, from you know, obviously when Shane was up there, when the late, great, great, great Bob Chase was up there, you could get there before pregame. And, man, you know, it maybe isn't as high up as some, you know, big league stadiums and arenas. But for minor leagues, that is a steep view. He has the press box, and then there's another little level to it where Shane sits, and I believe he's still right up in kind of a corner of it, if I'm not mistaken. But and then obviously in some other arenas, he has to sort of adjust as he's a lot lower to the ice surface. But he definitely has a bird's eye view, no pun intended, to Comet's mascot I see there. And he is certainly one of the very, the very best in the business, only behind, you know, the late, great Bob Chase. Although I think some maybe would even put Doc Emrick, who is a Bob Chase disciple, as so many took after him, and, you know, myself included, in wanting to get into this line of work. So what a legend. And then Shane Alberani, as great of a legend as they come. And we'll be seeing them. But in the meantime, unfortunately, Fort Wayne's out. We focus on who's in.
Quite so. Even though we still got a lot of games that are still going on. But don't forget, listeners, tomorrow and the day will come as we will see the racers for the Indy 500 and for the Coca-Cola 600 battle it out to see who will get their chances of winning that competition and for the shot at being the title, the Indy 500 and Coca-Cola.
Yeah. I mean, if you're working, it's one thing. Otherwise, if you're not just fixed on your couch, your recliner, lawn chair, watching sports, you have the 500. You have the NCAA Women's Tournament. You have a lot of college baseball going on. You have the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs, the Champions League final today, which is just about to get underway here shortly. There's all that stuff. Like, just last weekend was heavenly. Getting to just sit in front of the TV and watch nothing but sports. I mean, anybody watch the Premier League on Sunday is probably still calming down 6 days later. I mean, my voice was shot after Manchester City scored to win the title. That's why you love sports. That's why we do this. And like, you know, hopefully future shows we don't have to open the way we did today, and we can stay specifically to that. But we have work to do for that.
I agree. Because I remember seeing your social media story, earlier this week about the huge win for them. What was going through your mind?
Well, so to explain the scenario to everybody, right? The way it worked was that if Manchester City could either tie or better the result Liverpool got, they were going to, or if they just won, they were going to win their league title. Liverpool started losing. They quickly scored to tie it up. And then Manchester City went down by 2 goals. And Liverpool is facing a team that wasn't very good at home, and they wound up winning later after the fact. And I mean, that was awkward for those players to start celebrating like they really won the title. And then everybody's like, no, you got to go back, got to do more. But so that happened. And Manchester City basically needed to, in the end, they actually needed to come back and win. They scored 3 goals in 6 minutes, I think, late in the second half to win. It will never top the year that they had to get one more goal about 10 years ago. And they did so with about 10 seconds to go in the game, which I think is an all-time sports moment. Anybody that is on YouTube, everybody should go look that up. That was an all-timer right there. But this was pretty close. But it reminds you like why you love sports, because you don't know what's going to happen. The fact that the two best teams in the Premier League and quite possibly the two best club soccer teams in the world at the moment, that they were actually losing to teams that had nothing to play for at home, shows you that, you know, anything can happen. And that's why we love it. That's why we hate it. But that's why it's all together beautiful and brilliant. And hopefully we have a whole summer ahead of just that. But unfortunately, no World Cup yet this summer. That'd be November.
Well, it sounds like to me like that we have a whole summer, of sports chat to get to. Enjoy the 500 this weekend. Like I said, this is most likely going on right now as we are speaking, because we're recording this today on Saturday. So, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Jake, do you want to give us one more rundown of everything to look forward to this weekend and beyond?
Well, like I said, we still got the ECHL playoffs still going on, as well as today. Toledo Walleyes are getting ready for game number 5 against the Utah Grizzlies, and Florida Everblades and the Newfoundland Growlers will get ready for game number 5 as well. And if the Everblades and Toledo wins game number 5, they'll be the two teams that will move on to the next round. But it will be a tough decision to make between the Growlers and Utah to see which one of them finishes in third place.
And if you're not a 500 fan, later on this afternoon, the Tin Caps will be wrapping up their homestand. There will not be a game on Memorial Day, which I know in years past there's always been a Memorial Day game for the Tin Caps, but not this year since the MILB has adapted to a No Monday game. So everyone, we hope that you enjoy your Memorial Day. Please remember what this day is. And please, if you do see a veteran, please thank them for their service. We will not be having a sports chat episode next week. So enjoy a week off, and we'll catch you up in 2 weeks from today.